Mark chapter 5 today. Mark chapter 5. We pray in just a moment. Ask the Lord to help you take the next step with your walk and in your following the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 20. Glad you're here this morning. A great day God's given to us to gather and worship together. Years ago, Dr. Bill Rice invited us to the family camp at the Bill Rice Ranch. And Summer was just maybe almost 2 years of age, something like that. And we enjoyed a week there learning about parenting and marriage and things like that. It was a good retreat, and we were blessed. Now, the Bill Rice Ranch has an outdoor Western-type theme to it. There's a cowboy town. There's rodeos that they have, people with lassos and riding horses and things like that. So it's a lot of fun, that type of environment. And one of the things they had was a rodeo where you would catch a pig. It was part of a contest, pig catching. And they greased this little pig. The pig was only about that big. And they set us up into different teams. It wasn't Natalie, myself. It was me and a bunch of other guys, just so you know. She wasn't in the rodeo arena. But I went out into the rodeo arena with all these other fellows on my team. There's probably five or six of us, and that was our team, and there's others. And they were going to time us as to how fast we could catch this pig. So someone would come out, he had the pig in his arms, and then they would hit the timer, he'd let the pig down, and then the little oinker would start running around everywhere. I realized, because I touched him as soon as he fell into the ground, I kind of reached over and tried to grab him kind of like that, but he's slippery because of all that grease. I realized this is going to be pretty tough. We were the first group to go. So here's what I ended up doing. Other guys were running, we were running. I just flung myself on the ground at this pig, and you know, he made this big noise, and I just smashed him to the ground with my body. And then as he was recovering, some other guy grabbed the pig and picked him up, and we won the contest. Pig catching. Now that little pig was going crazy running around. In our passage today, we would say, wow, these pigs are absolutely crazy, and they were. Look at our passage as we read. Consider what the Bible says. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. We'll call this message Hog Wild. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. When you find in the Bible this phrase, unclean spirit, it has to do with demons and demonism. Who, in verse 3, had his dwelling among the tombs? And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. The shackles, the steel he would just break. The iron chains were like nothing to this man. That's abnormal, isn't it? Look at verse 5. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, Jesus said this in verse 9, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. Look at verse 15, and they come to Jesus, the townsfolk. and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here's a man, probably from his childhood. At some point in his life, he was confronted with a demon or multiple demons, and he was and become demon possessed. He would run around the countryside screaming and yelling, cutting himself, and living among the tombs. I could just imagine and think with me for a moment what all this really would mean to the regular folk of the city of the Gadarene. If you were to take your family out for a country stroll and go out of the city, you know, you would have to say, well, there he goes. You know, you could just see some little child. What's that man doing? This guy's yelling and cutting himself. Close your eyes, girls. This man doesn't have any clothes on, running around in the countryside. Imagine with me. Well, there he goes, streaking across. Watch out for that man. You go to a funeral. You go to a graveside service. Watch out. Watch out. He's going to come. He's going to disrupt. He's going to be there. That's what it was like. That's who this man was. I'm glad we have verse 15. This man, at the end of the story, is seated and clothed and in his right mind. Amen for that. Jesus is greater than a demon. Demons are real. The occult is real. Satanology and some of these religions that focus upon Satan himself, those are faulty and false, but they're real religions, and they're worshiping a real person that names Satan. And he has some demons. And demon possession is a real thing. And for the Christian, demon oppression is real as well. But Jesus is greater than the demons. Know this today, demons are real and deadly. Now, Christ has been healing. He's been teaching. He purposed to come over the sea to the city of Gadarene to meet with this man. He had told his disciples, let's go over. They get into a ship. They meet a big storm in the middle of the ship. He is sleeping in spite of the storm and the waves. And they're saying, don't you care for us? We looked at that last week. And then he said, peace, be still. And then as they get the water out of the boat, they continue on and they end up coming ashore at the city of Gadarenes. And here comes a man. As soon as they hit the shore, he comes down. And it's this wild, this crazy, demoniac man who comes. And as we look at this, we understand that Jesus recognizes and Jesus demonstrates to us the power and the potential harm that demons can have in our life. But Jesus is greater. As we read the book of Mark, you've got to love it. You can think about the many miracles. When you think of Mark, think about the miracles, because we see that page after page after page, the many miracles. And as Christians today and as people meeting together, we want to follow Jesus Christ. We want to take that next step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for some, it would be salvation today. But you've never trusted Christ. What you need to do to be right with God is choose Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're saved. Take that next step and be baptized. Maybe it's to serve the Lord. Maybe it's to serve the Lord once again. You've stopped serving and stopped being faithful. Whatever it is, as we pray in just a moment, ask the Lord to help you take the next step. And then let's consider this demoniac man and this message we'll call Hog Wild here today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage. We've been challenged and encouraged already by reading these verses. We thank you that you have greater power than any demon. You're the one who created everything. Lord, we pray that you would teach us your word today. Give each one a clear understanding of this passage and exactly who you are. And then, Lord, as we're confronted with decisions about what steps to take, Father, we pray that you would help us to take that step and the next steps with you. Bless this message now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. There are six sets of people in this passage. There's Jesus. There are the disciples. There are the possessed man. There's the possessed man. The demons. There are some pig farmers. And then the city leaders who come out to meet with Jesus. I guess you could call a seventh group would be the general populace of the city. So let's make a few observations. Number one, demons are detrimental. Demons are detrimental. We'll look at just a few of these different sets of people today. Demons are detrimental. In Florida, in Miami, I read this article. It's from quite a few years ago, that there's a form of what they would call exorcism that occurs on a daily basis at a Miami hospital. They treat several hundred patients every month. They said usually it's 600 to 700 patients, but sometimes it's 900 and sometimes more of patients that come in that are just out of their mind. Many of these in that area, because it's in Florida, they have come from Jamaica and Haiti and the Bahamas and the Cuba, Cubans and the Puerto Ricans, and they live many in high concentrations in the Miami area. And the reason he, in this article, it draws that out is because in those island nations, many of them are involved in the occult. In fact, if you go to Haiti, Haiti has the official religion. It's something to do with Satanism. That's the official state religion. And so a lot of these people come from this background of knowing the occult. Whether or not they would admit what it is or know what it is, they deal with demons. And so this hospital is talking about how many cases they come in that have, well, they're just out of their mind, if you will. We would say that's exactly like this man who is running around the countryside, living among the tombs. We would say, well, he's a crazy man. He needs some help. Now, he needed a lot more than just medicine that people are injected with today. Let's consider these demons and how detrimental they are. They were hurting this man. Look in verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, anytime someone saw this man, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is how this man was known. Anytime people would see him, this is what he was doing. This is how he conducted himself. These demons were hurting this man. These are uncommon actions. Now consider the statement here today. Not all mental issues are biological. Sometimes, you know, biological issues you treat with medicine. Not all biological cases, or not all mental issues, if you would, are biological. Some are spiritual. Some are spiritual. This man had a spiritual problem. His problem was there's demons. As a believer, know this. You're not going to be demon-possessed. You can be oppressed by a demon. But a demon cannot fill you because you have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking, oh, what a blessing that is. So they were hurting this man, some uncommon actions. He had uncontrollable strength. He could tear the chains right off. Any of you have, for a pastime, you like to go and just pull on a chain and break it? You can do that. We can do that. You ever get some shackles on you and say, hey, put me in some shackles and see? You don't do that. Our police officers don't have many problems with people just ripping it off like nothing. That's what this man was able to do. It was the power of these demons that were in him. Uncontrollable strength. No man could tame him. He had some unnatural desires. Here he is at all hours of the day and night, shouting out. And sometimes you hear people say about someone that they think is crazy, you know, he's out shouting at the moon tonight. Maybe this man did it. Perhaps that's where the phrase came from, but he was doing it all the time. Not only that, he would find some sharp stones cut. But these are uncommon, unnatural type attributes, unnatural desires. Friends, today it's a developing issue among many people today, the issue of cutting. Teenagers are confronted with this on a very consistent basis. In our world, a lot of teenagers will cut themselves. They hide it pretty good. Some of them let it be known so they can get some help. But there are many teenagers today, and I understand that it's at an epidemic level similar to the drug use in America today. Some teenagers will cut themselves trying to get some feeling. They're kind of dead to life. because of maybe their environment, their circumstances, their choices, the music that they listen to, the drugs that they take, they're kind of dead to life. Some will cut themselves, and it's not always on the arms. So I've mentioned this in messages previous. A lot of the times, even young ladies will do this. They're so concerned with their self-esteem, and they don't look like these models and these other people that they want to look like, and they'll cut themselves. Sometimes it's on the legs in the upper thigh region where nobody would see. They'll cut themselves just to get a little bit of feeling into their life. Folks, a demon-possessed person can do that. That's a demon-inspired idea. And I understand that a lot of music that young people listen to today, the heavy metal and the heavy rock and roll music that is listened to, much of the music includes lyrics that say to cut yourself. It's demon-inspired stuff. It's nothing to play around with. Here, these demons are doing exactly that to this man. Oh, they're detrimental. They're hurting him. These demons also know Jesus. Look at verse 6 and 7. They know who Jesus is. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." They know Jesus. They caused this man to bow before Jesus, and he even asked, "Don't torment me, Jesus." Sounds like he's got it all wrong. Don't torment me. Don't cast these demons out. Well, these demons, they obey Jesus. They know him. He commands them to leave the man. Look in verse 13. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. He said, "Get out." And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Now, notice they obey Jesus while in his presence. Now, demons by their very existence are rebels, aren't they? Aren't they rebels? Were not they the created angelic beings in heaven? You have one third of the angels of heaven that rebelled against God. That means for every two good angels, there's one bad angel. That's the demons today. The Bible speaks about when they were cast out of heaven. We'll read the verse perhaps in just a little bit. But demons by default are rebels. The rest of the time, they're going around trying to destroy God's people and injure the work of God. But in his presence, immediately, they left the man. By the way, you know people at work like that, that work real good whenever the boss is around? Maybe you're like that. You're kind of like this demon. They were right on top of it when he said to go. They left. Students today, you can be like a demon too. You're real intelligent and you really study well when the teacher's in the room, but when she leaves, when he leaves, you know, act out of turn. You can act like a lot like a demon. Well, they were very much responsive immediately to him, but they do obey with a bad attitude. Look at verse 10, verse 11. He besought him how much he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine. So they besought him through this man not to send them away. They do obey by the time you get to the next few verses, but it's really with a bad attitude, if you would. We could learn a lot from that. There was some negotiation, almost, it seems. They respond when Christ starts to speak to them. They respond, "Oh, can we go over here to these swine instead? Can you send us to them instead?" Next, they do not take up much space. Look at verse 9. So they're hurting this man. They do obey Christ in his presence. The rest of the time, we know they're rebelling. Verse 9, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A Roman legion was the largest unit in the Roman army, and it would consist anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 men, with their different weaponry and all of that. So let's say possibly 6,000 men, that would be a legion. 6,000 demons then. We're in this man. They don't take up much space, do they? They can go into a lot of small places and be many of them. Gadarenes is a city of about 10 Greek cultured Gentile cities along the Sea of Galilee. on the eastern side there. And it was a Greek culture. I just imagine this boy who became this demoniac man grew up without Jehovah, grew up without the one true God, but he had some false gods and he had some pagan religion, and somewhere along the way he became demon-possessed. I don't know if he played with the witches in the neighborhood or if he was into those types of things, but somehow he came across a demon and became demon-possessed. 6,000 demons living in this man. Folks, do not play with them. Don't play around with demonic activity. Tarot cards and palm reading, no good. Harry Potter books, movies, it's no good. These are nothing for the Christian to be involved with. In my family, listen, we don't even watch the newest Disney films that come out because a lot of those things have people in them with supernatural powers. And I'm not interested because demons are nothing to play around with. Spells and curses and this supernatural power is not entertainment. These demons also avoid disembodiment. Not only do they not take up much space, they avoid disembodiment. Now, they request to indwell these swine instead, these pigs. And it's a delay tactic of sorts. By the time you get to the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 8, I believe it's verse 31, they say, can we go into these swine because we don't want to go down to the deep. The word deep is the word abyss, which is, it has to do with the bottomless pit. In other words, they were doing anything they could to avoid going to hell. That was why they said, can we go to this pig? They wanted to avoid disembodiment. Again, there's one bad angel for every two good ones. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, teaching the origin of these angels, these fallen angels, says, hell drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. When Satan rebelled against God, he said, I'll ascend like Most High. I'll ascend above God. And then he persuaded a third of the angels. They followed him. They're kicked out of heaven. And today they are, some are in chains according to Jude, some that perhaps were the ones cohabitating with women in the book of Genesis. It's another study. But the rest are running around this world and oppressing God's people and assaulting the work of God. But they avoid disembodiment. I read this article. One man said that his friend told him, who was a Christian worker, an experience that he had as a young man in his parents' home. He said, one day, quite suddenly and inexplicably, the house began to be haunted. Knocking was heard in the walls, and at night, they would hear heavy footsteps about the house and other sounds. As the poltergeist, and that's a word for demons, basically, persisted in their game, the father called in a Christian man to help them. The man prayed in each room of the house, commanding the spirits in the name of Jesus to leave. The haunting immediately ceased. They said, however, out in their pigsty on their farm, immediately two pigs came down with rabies, ran around uncontrollably to the point where the owner said, we need to kill these pigs. And stuff like that, it really can happen. It happened in Bible time. If you would call and say, hey, I've got somebody that's demon-possessed over here, I'd be really nervous about that. I wouldn't be really interested. I would rather have them come here and talk to me. But listen, God is greater. I've known young people whose family members are with them and involved in the cult. We'll talk about incredible, sensational things that they have witnessed in their lives. But their ultimate destiny, hell was created for Satan, the devil. Some of those are, that's the demons. That's the angels that it's speaking of. They want to avoid hell, like I already mentioned. All of this is good to know, but they also demand loyalty. Look at verse 10. He besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. They demand loyalty. as you read that, here's a man that's out of his mind. Here's a man who lives with no clothes on. Here's a man who from his childhood, perhaps, was kicked out of the house because of these demons. And he would run around crying, cutting himself, living like just a crazy man. Nobody would have wanted this man. And here he is. He's delusional. You would think if Christ would come up to him and offer some help, that he would want that. But he said, Jesus, whatever you do, don't cast them out of me. He was saying, in effect, what they have is what I want, and what you can give to me or do for me, I do not want. That's what he was saying. Folks, that's more than delusional. That's just insane. It's demon possession. They demand loyalty. Sometimes, as believers, don't think you're much better, because sometimes we hold on to our sin. In effect, we say we want our sin instead of what Christ has given. So look at this man with great compassion. All these demons, they love death and destruction. Look in verse 13. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. They drowned there. You see, these demons love death and destruction. That's why this demoniac lived in the tombs to begin with. And that is why they asked to enter the swine. Now, Jesus commanded them not to enter the swine. There's a good observation to be made here. They asked, can we go to the swine? Jesus didn't say, I want you to go into the swine, thus wipe out this city's entire pig herding industry. He didn't say that. He wasn't into that destruction. But he did say, leave the man. And they asked, can we go into the swine? And Jesus said, yes, you can go, leave the man. And so they're all about destruction. These demons are all about death. Christ wasn't for any of that. He wanted the demons out of the man. One other person stated this about a Christian who told about the experiences that he had with his mother. The mother had suffered from severe colic due to gallstones. And once she went to get some help from the family doctor, and instead of giving pain-relieving injections or medicine, he decided to hypnotize her, and the pain left within just a few minutes, and she was pain-free for some time. He said, however, after this hypnotic treatment, the mother's character was altered completely. She developed an evil temper that at times bordered on madness. She would throw plates at walls, and in fits of temper, she would even pull sconces out of the walls and pull electrical outlets out. Just a little old lady was going around tearing everything up like that. It was all after that treatment. He said that he and the rest of the family are all opposed to hypnosis. Those are the form of treatment. You know what is dangerous with that? Is that the goal of it is to empty yourself of anything. But folks, if you're empty of anything, that means something can go in there. If you're a Christian today, thank God that it's Jesus Christ who lives and dwells within you. And nothing can take him out. And I'm glad for that today. But that hypnotic treatment, things like this, it all goes along with demonic activity, sure, demonic potential. So demons are detrimental. You could be oppressed as a Christian, but you cannot be possessed by a devil. Number two, souls can be saved. Here's demons that were possessing people. They were called demoniacs in ancient times. But this soul was saved. Life is valuable to God. Look at verse 2, if you would. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, Jesus purposely went. We understood this last week when we considered when they got into the ship and went over to the other side. Why would they go to the other side? The only person that we can know who got saved that day was this demoniac man. But people are valuable to God. Life is valuable to God. Most people would have denied knowing this man. Now, I already mentioned this. If you were to go to a funeral or take your family outside of the city and you were to go by the graveside where most of the people were buried, in that city, you would have seen this man. And I could just see some of the kids laughing and pointing. Hey, there he goes. Look at this man. This is a man that people made fun of. This is a man where some people had tried to tame him, as the Bible says, to show some compassion to help this man. But at this point, everybody had given up. He'd been out there for a long time living that way. His family probably disowned him. Probably everyone, even if they knew what his proper name was, would just have said, there goes the crazy man. There goes this demoniac man. But God cared for him. Life is valuable to God. Life can be right with God. You got to love verse 15. Look at verse 14. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And it came to pass, or they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Wow! A life can be right with God. This gives us great hope today. Listen, no matter how evil a life you have lived, God can forgive. No matter what you've done, no matter what guilty conscience you have, no matter what sin you've committed or blasphemy you've given against God, the Holy Spirit of God can work in your heart. You can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you can be absolutely 100% right with God. As a believer today, no matter what sin is in your life, if you confess it, God will cleanse you, and you can be right with God today. It doesn't matter how evil or how vile. Sometimes people will say, well, I want to get saved, and I'd like to go to heaven, and I want to know my sins are forgiven, but I've done such and such, and I don't think that I can be forgiven. Listen, if a demoniac man like this can be forgiven, anybody can. If he can get his life right with God, you can get your life right with God. There's great hope with that today. So no matter what you're facing in your life, or what sin, or what guilty conscience you have, get it right with God today. No matter how much wrong has occurred, God can help you. You can be forgiven. Life is valuable to God. Life can be right with God. Life can be lived with God. Verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine. So they go back, they're telling this story. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, this is the Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with them. So the city leaders have come out. They're protesting Christ. They had 2,000 plus pigs that just jumped off a cliff and killed themselves. Their meat industry, their swine industry was done just like that. The farmers didn't like it. The owners sure didn't like it. Jesus, get out of here. Well, look at this man. Well, that's great for him, but we don't want you to be here. So Jesus now steps onto the ship. As he's stepping onto the ship, here's this man who was clothed and sitting in his right mind. Maybe he was on a fence along the way of the cemetery, and he was sitting there. Everyone was looking at him. He sees that Jesus is about to leave. After he hears this conversation, he runs over to where Jesus is at and says, can I go with you? Can I go with you? You know what he wants to do? Just by seeing this in the passage, he wants to follow Jesus. Isn't that great? What we want to do, he wants to follow Jesus as well. He wants to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life can be lived with God. It can be lived with Jesus. Now, this former demoniac man lived the life for Jesus, even though Jesus wasn't physically in his presence. Because here's what the Lord tells him to do. He tells him, you go and tell everybody else about what has happened to you. I'm going to go back to the other side. And the Bible says that many others then believe because of that. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, that's that 10-city region that he was a part of and that this city was a part of, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. A life can be lived with God, even if Jesus isn't physically in your presence, you can walk this life with him. And that's what this man chose to do. John Ruskin in the 1800s grew up in a Christian home. His mother encouraged him when he was 10, 11, 12 years old to read through the Bible every year. And as a young person, I challenge young people to read through the Bible like that. His mother challenged him to do that, and he did that as a young person. He had memorized much of the Bible as a young person as well. John Ruskin is his name. He said this: every person confronts three great questions. Where am I from? That's a good one. Where are you from? He asked another question: whither am I going? Where am I going? Am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Where am I going? He said the third question is this: what must I do on the way? So what are you going to do on the way to wherever you are? Good questions to ask. That's what he was asking. Folks, life can be lived with God. God put you here on this earth. You're a creation of God. God has given your life purpose. He's given your life meaning. He's given us something to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given believers a commission. Go and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a purpose for your life today. There's a purpose for this local church. It's not just to get together and sing and to do whatever we do. It's to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known to other people. A life can be lived with God. You can walk with Jesus today. This man was now living beyond the expectation of the people. This hog wild, this crazy man, was exceeding expectations. Everyone else had given up, but all men, the Bible says, did greatly marvel. Wow, what happened to him? What changed in his life? Jesus changed everyone's expectations. Oh, a life can be saved. Eternal life is possible. Thank the Lord for this man being saved, and perhaps many others because of his testimony. Demons are detrimental. Souls can be saved. Amen for that? Amen. And finally this, the Lord loved. What does this story tell us? It tells us about God's love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy, all of those attributes, those characteristics we see. In verse 1, just simply by the fact that he went over onto the other side, he loves enough to go, in verse 1, across the sea. It was about an 8 to 10 mile journey on that ship. And there was a storm in between, but Jesus loved enough to go. And when you think about it, Jesus loved enough, loved us enough to leave heaven, to go to this earth, to come here, and then to go to the cross and die, taking the punishment for our sin. Wow. God loves enough to go. He loves enough to heal. In verse 13, here's the man. He says to the demons, leave the man. Verse 15, he's clothed and seated, and in his right mind, he has healing, spiritual healing, physical healing. Now those wounds can start to heal on his body that was because of all the cutting. Now he can have a roof over his head. His life begins to heal. Go home to your friends. Now his relationships begin to heal. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus loves enough to go. He loves enough to heal. He loves enough to send. In verses 19 and 20, go and tell all your friends. Go home and tell other people. Friend, the same is true for us. God loves enough. He gives us the command, the opportunity then to tell other people about Jesus, the Savior of this world. I challenge everyone here today to bring somebody to church with you next week. Invite somebody to come to church here at Dawson next week. Look around. There's seats around you that are open. There's room, right? And there's space right beside you. You know what God told us to do? He told this man, you go tell somebody about it. The great commission that God told us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, that's a command for us. So I challenge you, between now and next Sunday, tell someone else to come. As we go through the book of Mark, we'll look at another gospel passage in the next few verses, and we'll see what God can do in their life and what God can do in our lives together. The Lord loves enough to go to heal and to send. Dr. P.P. Bliss, evangelistic singer and composer, he wrote that song, Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, beautiful song. He wrote that when he was a young man. I don't know if he's between 20 and 30 or somewhere in there, but just as a young man. growing older, he realized then how insignificant is our love for God compared to his love for us. So years later, when he was a much older man, he wrote these words. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loves even me. Even to my act. Even you. Would you be saved today? Would you tell someone else about the good news of salvation? I'm glad to tell you today, Jesus is greater than the demons. Demons are real and deadly. Jesus is so much greater. And all of this reflects his great love in that man. Happen in our life as well. This is his great love for us. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you for your good attention this morning. You say, Pastor Harness, God has challenged me that I would stay away from demons and demonic activity, demonic influence. Maybe it's a book that we have at our house. Maybe it's a movie that we have. Maybe it's an activity that I'm involved in, but I want to stay away with God's grace. I want to stay away from demonic influence and demonic activity. I realize it's nothing to play with. If that's true in your life, if you raise your hand, you want to make that statement to the Lord. I want to stay away from demonic activity. That's something in my life I can get rid of. I want to get rid of it. Amen. Many hands. Thank you. You know, how you answer that question really is important. Because demonic influence is all around you. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Harness, anyone can be saved and forgiven like this man. If I could have my sins forgiven. This man was a crazy man. This was a man that was demon-possessed. If he could be forgiven of his sin, if he could be saved, if his soul is in heaven tonight or today, wow, I want that same salvation. If I could be saved today, I would like to know more about that. If that's you today, just raise your hand. No one's looking around, just myself. I want to pray with you in a moment. Anyone at all, if I could be saved and forgiven of my sin, I would like to know more about that. Anyone at all, just raise your hand very quickly. All right, thank you. And finally, there. Let's praise God for his love. Wow, let's thank the Lord for his love today. His compassion, all of his mercies, they fail not. Let's tell other people about Jesus. Let's be thankful for his love. You say, God has challenged me that I would tell someone else about the love of Jesus Christ. Just to express my thanksgiving and thankfulness to the Lord. That's me. I want to give thanks to God. I want to tell others about the love of God. That's who would raise your hand. Hands are already being raised. God bless you. Amen. Oh, God bless you. Good. Amen. In our invitation time, let's be right with God. If you raise your hand, come and talk to the Lord about a decision to make. If you were considering trusting Christ, come on and do that. If there's demonic DVDs in your house, stuff with supernatural books, some of the stuff that just that lends itself towards, if not as outright, clear to see as demonic, talk to the Lord about it. Make a decision to get rid of it. Whatever God is doing in your life, as we pray, this moment, as we stand and sing, we're having a kind of prayer. Father, we pray that you bless this invitation time for your honor and your glory. Help each one with the many decisions that are being made here this morning. We ask in Christ. Would you please stand to your feet as the canvas plays? Would you